This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the strange sensation of being disappointed with the debut of Sami Zayn. So, Jake, I'm in conflict, and I wrote about this, and as usual, I'm just bringing the crap I write about to discuss with you, because, honestly, I just have a lot of feelings I need to work out about wrestling. How did we not, when we were going through names on a weekly basis, call the show Wrestling with Feelings at some point?
Well, as far as I know, we can change the name of this thing anytime we want, so let's just go with that.
Yeah, this is a special Wrestling with Feelings edition. So, Sami Zayn comes back on Monday night, and I am very enthusiastic about Sami Zayn. I've told the story here before about having a 100-degree fever and still going to a PWG show to see El Generico's last match. And as we know, El Generico is distantly related to Sami Zayn, although Generico is now helping out the orphans down in Mexico. I love this character. Both just the human that Sami Zayn is and who he portrays on TV, the underdog that fights and overcomes and does everything he can the right way and all of that. I really, really love this character. I would have thought I'd be happy to see Sami Zayn debut on the main roster, like come to the main roster, what looks like a permanent move during WrestleMania season. But Jake, I'm actually a little bit sad about that, and I don't quite know how to process these feelings.
Well, I think it becomes sort of you're conflicted because it's like, hey, this is fantastic news. One of my favorite wrestlers is finally going to have a chance to make a splash on the main roster. I mean, I think all of us would have preferred that he had made that splash when he debuted against John Cena, you know, those months ago before he had that unfortunate injury. But I mean, and perhaps that was the plan, and that just kind of threw everything for a loop. But you know, he debuts on Monday and immediately attacks Kevin Owens, and it's, I guess my first thought was, man, this would have been absolutely fantastic had they started building it 3 months ago. Like, I was just like, it doesn't really feel like it, even if it was a singles match, it doesn't feel like it would be WrestleMania worthy, or they couldn't do it the justice that it deserves, having just a couple of weeks left to build that match for that show. And you know, you and I both know, just kind of surveying the landscape, that this is probably going to end up being a, you know, 4-, 6-man, or 8-man match for Kevin Owens' Intercontinental Championship. And it's just like, man, just having Sami in there feels like you're doing that whole thing a disservice. I mean, unless they're just sort of, you know, biding their time until they can really ignite a strong feud between the two for SummerSlam, which is, you would think a WrestleMania match featuring these two guys should be a big deal, given that it's been a huge deal every other place that they've worked together.
And maybe that's my problem with it, that I see the Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens feud, and I go, okay, WWE needs to take the time to tell that entire story. I wouldn't have objected to them coming to the, if Sami wouldn't have gotten hurt, I wouldn't have objected to them coming to the main roster as a tag team and doing that for a year before they even think of breaking up. Like, that would not have upset me at all. I wanted them to tell that entire story and for it to have the rich backstory that it kind of had in NXT, but not really, because Owens destroyed Sami on night one, but especially the backstory that it's had everywhere else they've been, and kind of, I wanted to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens play off of that. On top of that, I just look at these multi-man ladder fiascos at WrestleMania that I think are going to become annual events again. And hey, I get it. Money in the Bank was super entertaining. And now WWE realized they didn't have it. Last year they went, oh wait, we've got these other things just sitting around, these weird belty things. Let's just hang one of those up. And it was good. Last year's match was good, but I look at that match and I go, who got more over because of this match? Who got to be a bigger star because they were in this multi-man ladder match? And I see no one. Maybe Daniel Bryan, because he did get a big win at WrestleMania, but Luke Harper's worse off than he was then. Ziggler's worse off. Stardust is worse off. Barrett is worse off. You know, you can go down the list. Dean Ambrose is maybe a little better. You know, Dean Ambrose is kind of in the exact same place on the card, that upper mid card, where they need a ladder match to cram you into. R-Truth is still R-Truth. And so I wonder, what is the point of these matches? What are they supposed to do? And shouldn't we be telling compelling stories with this section of the card? Shouldn't this be when we are building guys up? And on that note, I kind of related it to Shane McMahon, who we all know I can't go a show without bringing up. The reason we needed Shane McMahon to save this WrestleMania was because WWE didn't bother to tell stories with other compelling talent for a long, long time.
I think that's a pretty reasonable assessment. I mean, they, you know, they're going to fall back on the excuse that, well, you know, we've had all these injuries and, you know, we've been in panic mode. You know, we have, if you look through the revisions of the WrestleMania card that we had in mind, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ago, you know, we've gone through, you know, this is plan, you know, Z2, you know, that they're on scramble mode. And so they're, you know, I know what their defense would be if you were to bring this up to them. Like, you know, we just have not had the ability to do what we wanted to do. And you're seeing, you know, us pull Shane McMahon out of the ether.
Hail Mary in history, aside from a Rodgers to Rodgers surprise touchdown.
Yeah, that also qualifies. But, you know, it's the same scenario that they're praying, they're spraying and praying with this card. Like, and Vince, I think, even acknowledged that to a degree in his conversation with Brian Fritz, you know, just yesterday, where, you know, he's talking about, you know, well, our roster is depleted and next year's WrestleMania is going to be better. And, you know, and I think they've just sort of, you know, they're making all the desperation plays that they can, but they've sort of settled on the fact that this WrestleMania is going to be several notches below what we've come to expect from them, even though it really is, you know, the biggest arena that they've ever played.
Today on ProWrestling.net, ProWrestling.net members are listening to Jason Powell's long interview with Brian Fritz, the man who interviewed Vince McMahon for the Orlando Sentinel. What was he told not to ask Vince? How did the interview come about? What were the details in the interview that he didn't print? Some really cool stuff ProWrestling.net members are getting from Brian, who sat in a room with Vince this week, so that's pretty neat. Also, they're listening to audio reviews of Lucha Underground, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor. And they get to listen to all of those every week, constantly. They're always there. Also, they're listening to Jason Powell's Q&A show. They're listening to the special members-only edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. They're listening to all sorts of audio. They're also accessing ProWrestling.net's ad-free site. If you want to lock all this in, you can get it through WrestleMania. We do our best work during this time of year, and you can get that-ish through WrestleMania for about $7.50 a month. Or if you want to take the annual option, drop that rate down. It goes down to $5.50 a month if you sign up for a year. Guys, we really believe in what we do, and we think you'll like it. So head over to ProWrestling.net and check out .net membership. Also, take the time to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. If you're listening on the free side, please open up iTunes, give us a star rating, especially if you're on an iPhone. That takes like 3 seconds, guys. And it really helps us out in our rankings. It helps us out to get to make more of these shows. It helps get the word out about these shows as well. So please do that. Thank you for listening, you guys, and enjoy the rest of the show. Yeah, it's kind of, it really is a bummer that this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time crowd-wise, because I'm guessing it won't be the best. I'm guessing they would have done it differently as well. I think they had some very special stuff planned when they laid this WrestleMania out, and they just aren't getting the opportunity to do it. I mean, when you look at what they wanted this card to be, they wanted Triple H versus The Rock. They wanted some variation of Rollins and Reigns, I believe. I think that was the plan a year ago. Or a Lesnar-Reigns rematch. They wanted Rollins and Triple H was, of course, the second pick for Seth, for Trips after he after Rock probably said, hey, sorry, insurance says no. You know, you look at all of that, plus John Cena and The Undertaker in what I'm sure would have been John Cena's last, or Undertaker's last match, not John Cena's. Oh, God help us, no. He still has so many attitudes left to adjust. You look at all of that, and you go, wow, they are dealing with a lot. At the same time, hey, you know what? There are guys who were in that multi-man ladder match who you could have made something of a year ago, who you could have done something with, who you could have made more important stars starting this time a year ago. So not that they would replace John Cena, but when John Cena goes down, you have guys to put in that slot. When Seth Rollins goes down, you have guys. When Daniel Bryan's down, you have those guys that can fill in. And right now it feels like WWE doesn't have those guys. And I don't think the multi-man ladder match builds them as well as, hey, Sami Zayn got a statement victory at WrestleMania in, you know, this one-on-one matchup. That builds a guy. Kevin Owens got a statement victory. You know, Kevin Owens defended his title at WrestleMania. His first WrestleMania, he won this one-on-one match. I think that builds a wrestler far better than a multi-man ladder match. And I'm not against the multi-man ladder match at all, like, as a concept. But I'm against doing it the way WWE has chosen to do it. And that's as an excuse to not tell stories with their upper mid-card. At the same time, there's a part of me, Jake, that is super happy for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on their first WrestleMania. And I'm sure when they enter the stadium in Dallas, Texas, I'm going to stand up and be really, really excited to see these guys that I watched in front of, you know, 200, 300, 400 people at various PWG shows over the years, to see them get to have this major moment on a big stage. And that's going to be cool. I guess I just wish the story around it were better. It's that thing where I'm, like, really happy about something WWE is doing, but at the same time, see how it could be eons better.
I think that's, you know, take that last sentence and you've summarized, you know, the entire internet wrestling community. It's like, I'm really happy that some of this stuff is really good, but I, you know, I mourn what could be instead. And I think a lot of us get caught in that trap where, you know, we're always imagining what we think should be instead of what, you know, enjoying what we are watching. And, you know, it's easy to do because we've seen a lot of these guys and we followed them through their independent wrestling careers and through NXT and now onto the main roster. And it's like, you know, we've seen these guys have just, you know, magical moments where they told fantastic dramatic stories. And to see them, you know, at the biggest stage that exists in this, you know, industry, to be in a match where there really isn't that much of a story and the match is just loosely tied together and there's not really a lot of reason for them to be there other than, hey, I have this sort of loose interest in the Intercontinental Championship, you know, as a principle. Like, of course I want the Intercontinental Championship. It's, you know, it is what it is. But to see them not have that personal journey to have that first WrestleMania moment is something of a disappointment. And I totally get, you know, both sides of that coin.
Yeah. And I guess that's like you said, it's part of being a wrestling fan now in general. It's part of being a fan of WWE. A lot of times you see how, you know, fans, I think everyone listening to this would agree. Oh yeah. I see how things could be better. I mean, Shane McMahon could have not thrown terrible punches on Monday night and instead gotten to stand there like the charismatic enigma
that,
he
that
is.
That deserves its own segment of this show, to be honest with you.
Shane's, like, punches. That whole segment was seriously so backwards.
Like, those punches were awful. Like, they show him like doing, you know, fairly, you know, bog standard Muay Thai boxing training on his Twitter channel, you know, where he shows his training that he's doing. And then he gets in the ring and just limp noodle punches. And it's the same thing he did, you know, back in, I guess I'm failing to remember the year, but when he was in that feud with the rest of his family with Randy Orton, where it was just like, you know, just landing these marshmallows that, and he, you know, he doesn't have the timing right. It's not like he, you know, he's a worker, so he's not like stamping his feet properly and getting the, so the, you know, the lack of impact is just painfully evident watching him throw punches. It's just terrible.
You know what's bad? You know what's really bad? What? I still love him.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's awful. I hate myself. That'll wrap it up for us this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And Jake and I will be back tomorrow previewing WWE Roadblock, the blockiest of roads. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!